Welcome to the Marketing Powers Podcast. I'm your host, Mukwemba Mangangu, and I'm joined by my co-host, Grace Gondwe.
We're both marketing enthusiasts with a passion for sharing our knowledge and insights with you. This podcast is designed to equip our listeners with the information they need to excel at marketing in their different spaces. Our aim is to bring marketing home.
With that said, let's delve into today's episode.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
Hi, Mukwemba. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We missed you.
Aww,
here.
Stop it.
It's just unfortunate that you have come and Tukia
has
left.
Yeah, no. I missed you guys too.
Did you
I
really?
I did.
You come bearing nothing.
Listen. I brought pineapples.
Uh-huh.
I was in Uganda and I tasted their pineapples and like... my life was changed. My paradigms were shifted. It was like earth shattering. The moment I took a bite, like, and I was like, I'm going to take some. I'm going to go home with some. But they didn't make it past the airport.
Alas.
And I'm not even going to blame it on airport security. It was me. I ate them.
I don't know how you think we are going to feel about this.
I don't know. Listen.
Betrayal. Like, after ensuring that...
I tried, but like, they were there. The pineapples were there and like, my mouth was watering.
Uh-huh.
So I bring you stories.
You bring me stories.
I bring you stories of the most juiciest, sweetest...
pineapples you've ever had.
And like, you know, we have like nice pineapples here.
Yes.
But it's hit or miss.
Okay.
Like you go and buy, it's nice. Then you go and buy, then it's not nice.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get, yeah?
I did not take a bite of a single pineapple that was not juicy.
That disappointed you.
And for that reason, I don't know what God is going to do, but he needs to take me back there
to
go and eat some more.
Must be nice.
It was.
No, love it. No, truly, we missed your presence, but we were fortunate enough to have another lady in studio.
Yeah,
so you
someone
missed...
saved the day.
Exactly.
But I know that I missed an amazing episode. I've heard some of the testimonials and all of that, and I know it was an amazing episode for sure. Thank you so much to Mono for holding it down.
Yeah. Shout out, Mono.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So today... obviously,
mm-hmm.
we're dealing with another topic
mm-hmm.
that's very important, especially to us as marketers, mm-hmm. people with SMEs mm-hmm. trying to run a business, mm-hmm. as to what is the best way of going about to ensure that we target the right customers,
mm-hmm.
we do things at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're talking about data-driven marketing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've, I think, touched on data-driven marketing in a couple of previous episodes.
Yes.
But only in passing. And we're going to do a kind of unveiling. We'll, you know, touch on the basics of it. But I think an objective that we have is in a future episode, bring an expert on, you know, to come and like go a little more in depth to discuss, you know, the value of data and marketing. But we will do our best to give an opening or a laying of a foundation for it.
Exactly, because we're unveiling, they'll come and dissect.
Yes. Demystify.
Demystify what's being created. So yeah. With that in mind, what is data-driven marketing?
So when we talk about data-driven marketing, we're talking about essentially a process of utilizing data and analytics to inform marketing strategies and decision. It's about collecting, analyzing, and interpreting customer data to better understand their behaviors, preferences, and needs. And as marketers, we understand that understanding the customer's behavior, that's where the money bag is. Because when you understand what they need, you understand their preferences, then you're able to design a product that will meet their needs and secure that purchase that you want to secure the bag for you.
Yeah, which is, as we keep saying, I like the fact that you've just brought in the aspect of consumer behavior
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need to continually think about try to put ourselves in the shoe or in the minds of
mm-hmm.
the customers.
Mm-hmm.
What are they thinking of?
Mm-hmm.
Because once we do that,
mm-hmm.
it makes everything else easier
mm-hmm.
and we can make very targeted and informed decisions. Because another thing I keep mentioning is we always need to realize and acknowledge that we only have an infinite amount of resources.
Yes.
Okay, so we can't just go targeting everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know exactly who you're targeting. And we also, we speak about this because we know data-driven marketing allows SMEs, small businesses to create more targeted and personalized campaigns, which will result in higher engagement, conversion rates, and obviously a return on your investment.
Yeah, exactly. So we want, I mean, our objective with this podcast is to bring, you know, some of these big concepts and make them as simple as possible so that you with your small business or you as an individual, you know, who's trying to build even your personal brand, whether you're a marketer or not, how can you leverage whatever resources you have available to you, you know, to make the most impact? And that's one of the things that data is able to do for you. You know, we were just discussing before we started how we're like going over the conversation of like, we'll talk about some of the tools you can use, and some of them can seem like really big and really abstract and like, you know, someone can feel like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to get these things and how I can use those things. But, you know, when we talk about it from an SME perspective, you know, when you have your Facebook page that you use to sell your products, to run your business, Facebook provides analytics. It will provide information for, you know, who's engaging with your content, how many clicks are you getting, how much engagement, and so on.
Yes.
That's actually analytics, right? That's information about your consumers that you can use at that basic level to inform. For instance, Facebook will suggest posting time, right?
Yes.
Facebook will suggest, you know,
your users are up at this time.
So if you're going to make a post, post it at 8 p.m. or post it at 10 a.m. or post it at 12 noon, because that's when you get more viewers, that's when you get more clicks and so on. So yeah, just wanted to highlight that.
Oh, and very important. So it's not just the small SMEs that are using data analytics. If anything, the people that really take advantage of data analytics are the big guys.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so we have companies like Netflix. Okay, so I was doing this whole deep dive. And so you realize Netflix has over close to 139 million subscribers. What does that mean? Okay, that is data, a data landmine. So is landmine the right word to use?
A data mine. Data mine.
Sack of gold.
Yes.
That they're sitting on with all this information about what people are doing. So we might go to Netflix and think everything is just, you know what? Oh, it's very deliberate.
We always say this. You know, we always say this. We've said this before. Even when you walk into ShopRite and see how the food is arranged in the aisles, from a marketing perspective, nothing is accidental. Everything is very, very well thought out.
Exactly.
And that applies because we are thinking about why you're doing what you're doing, you know, what is provoking you to do what you're doing. And that's what drives the use of analytics.
Exactly. I'll tell you what really blew my mind away. Netflix actually went ahead and used this information they have to create shows. Okay. So a good example is that of House of Cards. Okay. So House of Cards is a remake of a show that was done. It was of a British show.
Okay.
Okay. So what ends up happening is they decide we're going to make an American version of this and just, you know, the whole political scene. So it's about politics, essentially. Okay. And then they went and said, most of the people that watched this British show actually enjoy this actor, Kevin Spacey. All that very deliberate. Yeah. So that's what they used to cast him.
Yeah, I see.
As the lead actor in that show. And the show took off. So, because they already had this notion. So, even some of the shows you watch, it's very deliberate. It's very deliberate. I think earlier on you just mentioned.
I mentioned Bridgerton, and there was the first season. There was the second season, and then there was. I think I see it very clearly with them creating Queen Charlotte.
Yes,
right. That was very clearly like them seeing, look, this has taken off. There's so much interest. People love this series. Let's give this particular character who has gotten all of this love and attention from these fans her own, you know, let's explore her story. So, I mean, I'm not a big watcher of series, yes, and I'm not a big watcher of movies. I watch a little here and there, but I think that was one interesting one that came to mind.
Of course. And I mean, they'll do just that, so they know when you paused, when you rewind, when you fast forwarded, and all that.
What did you skip over?
Exactly. Yeah. What did you skip over? And how long did it take for you to finish watching a particular show? Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you finish something very fast, it means you were really
loved it.
And
yeah,
you loved it.
Yeah.
And once that's done, now they start recommending more shows like that.
Similar,
or deliberate also from their rating systems that allow you to go, okay, and these are the type of shows that if we keep making, most people are watching these, and then they can target the audience that actually is interested in those at a larger scale.
Yeah. It's very fascinating from a human behavior perspective that we ourselves take our own behaviors for granted. Like, I think it would be very interesting if you observed yourself and took notes and made learnings from your own behavior, because these big businesses and big organizations are making money off monitoring our behavior.
Exactly.
You know, you binge watch a season two, it's like, oh, I just binged it. But someone is getting that information and building an entire business around, you know, what your binge watching behaviors are, which is very, very fascinating, actually.
You know, it's funny. It's funny you mentioned that.
Yeah.
And I think this is why when you hear someone say, you people just like the internet nowadays, and maybe people just assume you can do something without having to be on social media. And you're thinking, look, we need to move with the times.
Yeah.
We're very locked in in a very digital marketing age, and we need to take advantages of the tools at our disposal. And I mean, I understand some of the points that get there and how people wasted their time doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But then that's just one aspect. Well, someone else is doing nothing. Someone else is making someone money.
And there's ways. There's ways. Like when you talk about analytics, for instance, there's ways beyond social media. Let's say, for instance, I decide that I don't want to have Facebook. I don't want to have Instagram. I don't want to have all of these things. My email is still a tool that a marketer can use to send me information, to target me with advertising for the things that I want based on the kind of things that I'm interacting with on the broader internet, right?
Yes.
Maybe from my Google searches, from, you know, the pages that I'm interacting with. Maybe I'm interacting with information from a particular kind of author, right?
Yes.
Google now will tailor their responses. They have an AI thing in there.
Yes.
And, you know, even your searches will come up a certain way based on your interactions. So it's really not just social media. It's the whole internet that can be used for analytics purposes, you know, including email marketing.
It's funny you've mentioned that. I think I've heard people who go as far and say, you know what? I was talking, let's say, for instance, I was talking about cars.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I open Facebook, they are showing
me
pictures
with
of cars. Like, anyway, I guess we'll get into the ethics of all that.
No, I mean, I don't think they're hearing your voice. I mean, I'm not the most tech savvy in that way. So
yes,
I don't think they're hearing your voice. But the truth is that chances are that
you searched for it.
You searched for it. You typed a search in your Google search, in your Facebook search, in your Instagram search, and based on your search, and don't even make the mistake of doing that search twice. Maybe once you can get away with it, but twice, they'll be like, here's your food, eat it. So, I mean, I think the other thing is to understand that to an extent, you kind of determine what you are advertised, what you're targeted with,
yes,
right? To an extent. When you interact with a particular kind of content, when you, you know, click on a certain kind of page, the algorithm, somehow it always comes back to the algorithm will then, your algorithm will then evolve to where that kind of information is coming to you. So, you know, for someone who's like, I don't even know where this is. No. You clicked on something, you know, you searched something, and then that's why that is coming.
That's
up
why
that
you're
way
in that situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is just how we open up. So now I think we've just broken down what data-driven marketing is, some examples of where you can find it and how you can use it to your advantage, its importance, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just going to, I guess, let's get into it more and talk about how we go about leveraging customer data mm-hmm. and the types of customer data mm-hmm. that's actually available to mm-hmm. People running pages on Facebook, mm-hmm. Instagram, mm-hmm. Twitter, and just YouTube, your SMEs,
YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, taking that example of the small business owner, right? You're using your Facebook, you're getting your analytics from your Facebook page. There's demographic data, right? At bare minimum, you get demographic data. So there's demographic data, there's transactional, like people who run e-commerce businesses, you'll be able to track who's buying. If you follow like Instagram influencers and YouTube influencers, they'll tell you about their like to know it, all of the products that they are, you know, influencing you to buy. They have their links in their like to know it, and they're tracking analytics of how many people are coming from my Instagram and going to my LTK.
Yes.
And how many people are coming from my LTK and going to this Amazon shop,
yes.
going to this, you know, what would it be in Zambia? What's a Zambian store that I can give an example of? Oh my goodness. Mangishi. If we're talking about clothes. Mangishi, the fashion, they make clothing and stuff. So okay. Who's coming from my like to know it, going to Mangishi to go and buy, right?
Yes.
They're actually able to trace how many clicks they're getting from this particular influencer's page going to make sales for this particular store that is linked. So that transactional information is there. Behavioral information, how many clicks, how many interactions, who commented, who liked, who reacted, etc., etc. Those are the different kinds of, you know, customer focused data you can
mine. Now getting into mm-hmm. yeah. Because on the other end, say for instance, our TikTok account,
mm-hmm.
I think most of the views we're getting I think about 64% female. So okay. Now the question is, do I read Taylor?
What are we doing into... No, I mean, and you know, that's the interesting thing about data is you get numbers, but you then have to think about what does it mean?
Yes. And how do I use this?
What do we do with this information?
Yes.
So it could mean that women are more interested in getting marketing information.
Yes.
And it could be beneficial to continue to sell it that way,
yes.
to get more women listening. Or it could be homework for us to say, look, what about our content is not appealing to a male audience?
Oh, truly, yes.
What
and
about
how do we get these numbers
how do we
up,
get those numbers up?
As well and
yes,
create a good
because
balance.
We want a balanced, yes. We want a balanced audience, and we want content that appeals, you know, across the board,
yes.
of the two genders.
Yes. No, I think when we keep making the pause tips, I
yes.
guess now we
we'll,
find
we'll
a way
able to
in which
see.
We
yeah, we'll be able to
mash
see.
It up a little.
Oh, maybe little it's more. Because you are doing those pause tips most.
Maybe
the ladies are like,
maybe I'm not that bad looking after
no,
all.
No, listen to whoever you are who's listening. Nyumbu beats. She'll beat you. But yeah, that's an interesting one. That's an interesting one.
Ah, oh, fantastic. Mm. Fantastic. So that's about how we go about leveraging data. So when we're leveraging data, another thing that we need to be wary of is obviously what techniques are we using for collecting the data?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we, to our disposal,
mm-hmm.
and I need to do this also in such a way that, because there's some people who are still very traditional about how they go about collecting data.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not sticking to the fact that collection of data is only done online.
Mm.
So there's people who will still go out and print out
the survey.
A poll of sorts.
Mm.
And just when people come into their stores or before they leave, they give feedback.
Yeah.
This. And when you sit down and actually look at, this is so many people, if this is a saloon and so many people are saying, we would like to get our hair washed with this product, you realize if you get that product, you get these people to stay there for
you
a
have
long
some
time.
Retention, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but then we go back also to the digital edge.
Mm-hmm.
As we're born after computers.
Nah. I'm going to expose you. Are you sure you were born after computers? No, but listen.
Yes.
We are young. Ish.
Ish. So obviously now we've got website analytics, and mm-hmm. these are the things that we've been mentioning.
Yeah.
Monitoring your social media, mm-hmm. creating loyalty programs, mm-hmm. and that's just so that people can come back. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And it creates that traffic, and people now can notice that this person is coming back mm-hmm. So many times.
Mm-hmm. I think this would be a good place to segue to just add that there is an ethical consideration, and it's becoming more and more of an issue. There are ethical considerations where people are saying, you are in my business. I don't want you having this information. Maybe I do want to interact with your website, but I don't want you to follow me around and see everything that I'm doing and get this information. And,
okay.
you know, like there's like, you know, issues globally about, you know, privacy and who should be able to track what kind of information should you get. And there's been scams, you know, there's been scams that have come out of people getting access to people's personal information that they shouldn't get access to. So I think it's just to caveat here and say, we want people's information as marketers. We want, you know, that information because we want it to inform how we do business. But there has to be a point where we are well informed about what is the most ethical approach to do it. What is the most ethical approach to take? And then I think another thing I want to add here is what analytics is getting, especially when you look at it from the perspective of social media, is they are getting information about what is at the moment the most valuable resource in the world, which is people's attention.
Yes.
The more attention you pay on social media, the more money that these businesses, you know, all of these are able to make, right? So it's a whole big conversation around the ethics of it, but it's a good consideration to have that even as you're getting this information. If it's with a survey, you know, we do the bare minimum of saying this is anonymous. We know we don't need your name, we don't need your, you know, your address, etc., etc. But online, they'll gather your email addresses.
Of course they will.
You know, they'll gather your digital information from your digital footprint. So it becomes a little bit more tricky. So it's just something to think about as you're exploring how you can use data.
And that's why a lot of people, I feel like even every app you download, every mm-hmm. Website,
yeah.
they will always, because even if you're applying for like a job mm-hmm. on a website, mm-hmm. okay, they have your information, mm-hmm. but usually you need to like tick and give consent data provided.
Yeah.
And they'll probably tell you, this information that we've received that's of you will only be used for in-house
for
purposes and things like mm-hmm. that. And well, most of us don't, a lot of us
we
probably tend not to read through those fine prints. You just, terms and conditions, you just know it's long and you're
just
like, start using application.
Yeah. And I think, especially I think in the Zambian context, I think we haven't come to a full understanding of the power of our data. And it's a very big conversation. I feel like there's still a lot of us that are under the radar because the level of reach or the level of access to technology and to the internet and so on, like we still have a way to go, right? But there's still quite a big base of us who do have access to the internet, who are using social media, and you know, people can make money off of that. So I think we need to come to a point, even as I'm speaking now from a consumer's perspective, where you realize that your information is valuable. Someone is willing to pay money for it, and you need to realize that your information is valuable, and where necessary, you need to take precautions to protect yourself.
Oh, that's so true. Actually, I think we should have a conversation mm-hmm. In the future about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be nice to actually go into the aspect of how is it done in the Western world or other countries and how we're doing it here.
Yeah.
Because you find that in Zambia, we tend to be very, very careless
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
about throwing out our NRCs. Mm-hmm, oh, this is this.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you go, your money, you're trying to deposit, you sign, you put your phone number, you put your NRC number, and you leave.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
It sounds easy, but no, that's what the scammers are. You know, people come through, they're like, okay, these are details, I've got the NRC
number.
That's
your personal information. I think I posted it on my WhatsApp. I've had financial institutions that I've had zero interactions with. I have never interacted with Zedfin. Let me just check my SMSs. I've never had any business with Zedfin. I get messages from Zedfin every other day. 18th April, welcome to Zedfin Loans. Get the best loan offers from Zedfin today. Zamcash.
Is there something you're not telling us? Do you need help?
I don't have. I promise you. I have never. I mean, Zamclash is closed now, but like, I promise you. I have never. But there's been like one or two other businesses that I've gotten messages from saying, hey, do you want to borrow money? How did you get my number, bro?
You know, that's actually a good entry point into when we talk about tools and technologies that are available in data-driven marketing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the only problem here is that we're now having the conversation of how do other people get access to this information?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because we, on one end, we acknowledge that, you know, maybe they buy this information. I'm assuming it costs a lot of money and people are going to pay for it.
I mean,
because that's the power in it, actually,
in the,
nowadays.
In the Western world, people will pay for analytics.
And, yes.
You know, there's a whole, like, I mean, I would like for us, like we said, to have like an expert.
Yes.
Come and have this conversation with us. But like, people pay money, you know, for this kind of information.
They do, because now most companies, at least a well-meaning company, is going to have certain information, such as CRM systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now, this if you don't know what CRM is a customer relationship management software.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's where when you go into certain institutions, basically the KYC.
KYC. Yeah.
See, we want to know you. What's this about you? And they have your information. Mm-hmm. That's what they use.
Mm-hmm. I think we've seen that like at a basic with telecoms companies.
Yes.
And there's been a few times when they've been transitioning systems and stuff, and they'll be like, "Hey, if you don't come and update your information, we'll block your phone number and stuff." I think I've had it like with MTN. I think when I don't know what was happening, they said you have to come and bring your information, and then that's one example.
Example of what it does, right? Mm-hmm. So, and from a functional perspective of what tools like this do is basically they enable us as marketers to track interactions across multiple channels, segments of audiences, automate marketing workflows, and measure campaign performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And this is why I would like to keep emphasizing that there is no reason as to why people should sleep on using social media and the information that they get from there.
Exactly.
Because all these allow you to, like, going back to the aspect of you have an infinite amount of resources, and if you use it rightly, you'll make a greater impact on what it is you're going to do.
Yep.
Because in everything that people are doing online, we cannot speak of data-driven marketing without, of course, mentioning the fact that there's constant machine learning that's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. And people are creating these softwares in-house to ensure that back, like even just we talked about Netflix, they're learning these patterns. So it's not like something that just happens.
Mm-mm.
The machine is learning, is taking it all in, and then using that to get into what we now refer to as predictive analytics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically will enhance the capabilities of data-driven marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, the argument could be that we want to enhance the user's experience. We want to make it better. We want you to not have to think too much about when you log into your Netflix, what do you want to watch? Because we have a lineup of things that suit your taste that you want to watch. So, like, from the perspective of the small business owner, is what would it look like for you to have that kind of information about your consumers at your fingertips? What would it look like if you were able to, you know, go into your Facebook and, you know, look at the analytics there and be like, okay, you know, maybe this kind of content isn't hitting so much, but this kind of content is hitting more, and I'm able to get more users. I'm able to get more actual purchases, you know, when I craft my content like this or when I communicate my message like this.
Exactly.
So it's really an amazing tool.
Oh. And that is the power of the internet world
that
we live in.
Yes.
It changes everything and makes our life that much easier. So if I walk out of this room and I get a message saying, would you like to buy pineapples from Uganda?
It's not impossible. It's not impossible because, Zuckerberg and his friends.
Uh-huh. I'll just be like, I have been listening to it, and I think now it's that's the part we get to. But anyway, whenever we have conversations about data, we also understand that there's overcoming challenges and risks that, you know, we need to deal with. And maybe that's why it also gets very serious when we talk about things like this, because now you're using people's information.
It
benefits you. And that's why in certain places, people actually have to pay you to get your information. Because ultimately, you as a company benefits from the information at
that
your disposal.
Getting,
and you might as well find a way in which that translates to your consumers as well.
We touched on, I think I touched on the ethics of, you know, the data collection and the data usage. So this is where that comes, that comes in, that make sure that you've made as many as reasonably possible in terms of, as you've done as much as reasonably possible to, you know, factor in what are the ethical considerations and how can I make sure that I'm operating, you know, within the bounds of even the law, you know, but also furthermore, what is ethically acceptable. But this is also the point in the conversation where Zicta comes in. This is the point in the conversation where CCPC comes in. And, you know, these are regulatory bodies that are there for consumer protection, right? These are regulatory bodies that are there for you as a consumer, so that if you feel like you're being infringed on, if you feel like, you know, this information that these people have, you know, that they ought not to have or you don't want them to have, those are platforms that we can use, you know, to make sure that we are protected. And you shouldn't be afraid to complain, you know, because this is your information, this is your life. And if you feel like, you know, people are overstepping their boundaries, there are those platforms to protect
you. To do just that. And I think this is where also, like, from a governance perspective, where these organizations need to continually foster a culture of ensuring people are data literate and also know how their data can and can't be used by different organizations.
Yes. Have a bare minimum. As a small business, have a bare minimum of even a disclaimer, you know, a small statement about your approach to data protection. Like, you're interacting with us, we're getting this information, we're only going to use it for such and such purposes. You know, some businesses will tell you we'll have this information for such and such a period of time, after which we are required to destroy, delete, etc., etc. So, you know, the internet is a very powerful tool. You know, it can help you with, you know, what is a clause or what is a statement that you can make to say, you know, we don't want to disrespect you, your privacy, but this is information that we're gathering from you interacting with our business. This is the information we'll take. We respect your privacy, and this is our approach. Yes, exactly.
You have to be transparent.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because now I was just thinking about the fact that I don't know what type of lawsuits we would have if certain celebrities from Coachella came
honestly,
to Zambia
and saw their faces,
all these images of them
in our
barber
shops
and saloons, do this hairstyle,
honestly,
and some actual billboards, like, it's ridiculous. And you're thinking,
it's like, are
Does he know?
My marketing manager.
Does he know?
My marketing manager.
What is Will Smith doing on that billboard?
Bruh. There was, I think a couple of years ago, a named boutique was using pictures of this influencer who's based in the US, but I think is of Zambian origins.
Okay.
She called them out. She was like, look, if you want to use my pictures,
well,
okay.
I'm good.
But like, tag me at least.
Yeah. Or pay me.
Like, say that it's me. Like, at least let me get the traffic to my Instagram when people see. Like, you're not going to just use my pictures to sell your products and not give me any credit for it. And it's like, we really take for granted, you know, the legal ramifications of some of these things.
Yes.
And, you know, it's important to be very, very careful how we approach some of these things.
And that's why we need to educate people more. I think even just like from a class perspective in strategy, we talk about, I think there was a case with Shodo and a Zambian celebrity.
Yes.
And all this went into court. I don't know if they settled it.
I don't know if it's resolved.
Yeah, so I guess we won't get into that.
Yeah, no. We don't want troubles.
We don't want troubles, but that's the point, right? Mm. Like, we need to be wary of the information that we're using. Mm-hmm. Are we allowed to? Are we not? Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the challenges, it's the ethical considerations we have of using customer data, mm-hmm. ensuring transparency, mm-hmm. getting their consent, mm-hmm. and respect for individual privacy rights.
Yeah. Very, very, very important.
Exactly.
And it mustn't be taken for granted. Because, you know, the thing about the internet doesn't forget.
No, it doesn't.
The internet has a trail. They'll
wake up. You think people have moved on. Someone one day will just wake up and...
They will have the screenshot.
Back in your face, receipts.
They will have the what? They will have the what-ish, man. And it will be like 5 years down the line, you're running your business, you're successful, and someone's like, you didn't ask for consent to use my ABCD.
Exactly.
Or you have no... You had no policy for what, and the law will come and bite you, you know. So it's very, very important, I think, to be very forward thinking in how you approach this.
No, I think it's just that we are, as a nation, obviously, compared to the Western world, we're still very, very behind, and we're also equally trying to catch up. But with all these scams and things happening, I actually believe that there's a lot of literacy that's going to be done. Like, people will be taught what the importance is, because it's only going to get worse from here.
Exactly.
People are getting more and more sophisticated as time goes on. And now we're living in a very digital world where everything is being done from your phone, from your laptop. You don't have to walk into buildings and show your physical presence. So it's going to be very important that, this is taken care of.
That awareness is built.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, to me, it says for there to be a syndicate that like that one that was busted, it means that there's money.
No, there's really money to be made.
And it's like, look, you're scamming people. Like, maybe that's even the last money that they had and you took it. Right?
Yeah.
But the flip side of it is it means that there's opportunity. There's opportunity in terms of, you know, this is a consumer who has this money. How can I legitimately, you know, get business and get this money by providing value to them as a consumer?
Yes.
So to me, it says that there's a lot of market potential in the country.
Yes.
But we just need to figure out what systems can we put in place so that we, you know, we get those monies from them, but provide value, good value in exchange through a product or a service.
No, true. And also to just people in like the telecoms, the telecommunications, to do better for us as consumers.
Yes, as consumers. Exactly. To be a subscriber, to be a user of your service, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you with my information. I'm trusting you with my money, you know. So can I get some consideration in terms of a commitment to protecting me as a user?
Exactly. Because it's getting too easy. It's getting too easy. Bruh. People are losing money.
Bruh.
And now you're thinking, should I just take it straight back into the bank?
Can I? And really, that's actually something. That's something, like, as a service provider, mobile money is very, very convenient.
Yes.
But these scams, the analytics from these scams should tell you that we are not feeling safe.
No,
as
no,
users, we're not feeling safe. Help me build trust in me as a consumer, you know, by creating some guardrails for me. Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. So now that we've had this conversation, obviously, we also look to the future trends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've acknowledged that from here on out, things are going to keep changing.
Mm-hmm.
What are your predictions for the future we look forward to?
For the future that we look forward to.
the future our children will live in.
A lot of AI, obviously, is getting into more and more of that. And, you know, that's a whole big conversation. But I think in the Zambian context, we're going to get a lot of, I foresee a situation where we begin to get more, as we begin to get better at mining the data.
Yes.
Personalized marketing.
Yes.
You know, and I think we had this conversation. We had this conversation when we spoke with Tanya about how there isn't as much like personalized marketing in like tailoring a product, you know, for you, and yes. that is growing, yes. you know, and as that grows, as we as consumers evolve and our palates broaden, you know, there'll be a desire for more of that. So I think I see a place and a time where there'll be more personalized marketing. But I also foresee a place where businesses will understand more the value of first, my information, me as a user, that first, yes, party,
first party data.
Yes. That's your email, your phone number, you know, things like that.
Are you married?
Like, your age, all of that super like personal information. They'll understand more the value of that. And so service providers who are able to give that information to business or generate that data for businesses, I think there's room, you know, for those kinds of businesses in the future.
Yes. And you know, the same way we go back to like, first party data,
mm-hmm.
okay, all that information allows them to make money. I yes. keep saying this,
yes, because it always comes back to that. Yeah,
if you have that information, it's, let me give an example of you have a bakery,
mm-hmm.
okay, you decide to get your client's information, mm-hmm. date of birth and things like that,
mm-hmm.
so then what do you do,
mm-hmm.
1 week before their birthday,
mm-hmm.
you give them a call. Say, hey, your birthday is coming up, or this birthday is coming up.
Mm.
Would you like to purchase for this person? Because I have your family here,
I have your information.
This is the information, and this is how it's breaking down.
It could even look like a freebie.
Exactly.
This is our bakery. We'll give you a free donut on your birthday.
Yes, please come through.
How you will feel when they give you that donut? You want to go back again.
Exactly.
You want to go and buy again.
Exactly.
You know?
And so, these are tips for SMEs.
Small businesses,
you know,
yes.
If you have that information,
yes.
how do you ethically take advantage of it and say, mm-hmm. hey, I have this information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can I use it to ensure that next time this person is still taken care of by me?
Yes, this person wants to come back. I mean, husbands would benefit from their bakers.
Oh, Lord. Uh-huh.
Husbands would benefit from their bakers calling them when it's there a week before or 2 weeks before their wife's birthday and being like, hey, so I know it's your wife's birthday and I know you don't have anything planned at the moment. I can set you up with the bouquet.
I know you don't have anything planned.
Yeah, because
really?
Okay, no. Are we doing the bare minimum?
Is that how bad it is?
Not Mukwemba is on top of the game. But like the service provider saying, look, I can bake you a cake, I can get you the book. You don't even have to do anything. I have the information. I remember it was her birthday last year again around this time.
So
don't worry, I got you.
We have you covered,
yeah.
if you can just confirm with a payment.
Yeah, that's your repeat purchase right there.
Exactly.
Secured.
Exactly. And that's how you make money. And I feel like we are not taking advantage of that enough.
Yeah.
We have the information.
Mm.
We have the tools.
Mm.
But people take it for granted that they have this information and just like, oh, I just have a list of customers. I can tell you how many customers I have. Okay, fine. But what can you do with the customers
you have? With that list of customers. Yeah. Really, really good. That's really good stuff. Adaptation and innovation. What are we foreseeing there? What can businesses do in terms of adaptation and innovation?
I think in that regard, companies generally just need to continuously adapt,
mm-hmm.
innovate their marketing strategies,
mm-hmm.
to keep pace with the ever-evolving consumer behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
So technological advancements,
mm-hmm.
and regulatory changes that exist. Because as time changes,
mm-hmm.
all these things are going to keep evolving and changing. And a good example is obviously the things we do now, the people that come after us have a different notion. The people that were there before us also have a different notion. So all those things are things that are constantly changing. Their buying behaviors and patterns change.
Mm-hmm.
Soon, maybe these guys will completely not have to go to ShopRite.
Mm.
ShopRite will bring their things to them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Whereas we are very comfortable getting up and saying we're going to ShopRite to do the buying. So all those are things that can change and are probably changing. And with that, the technological changes that are happening, Zikta, CCPC, all these also come up
responding.
With more regular changes in their regulations that currently exist.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. What does the business owner do with this information? I have my business and I come to you and I tell you, okay, I want to leverage this. What's one thing I can do?
I feel like at this point,
we
need to embrace data-driven approaches,
stay
informed about the emerging trends that are there and best practices to remain as competitive as we can in our rapidly evolving marketing landscape.
Right.
Yes.
Don't overcomplicate it. Just start with your Facebook page. Just look at the analytics on your Facebook page and, you know, see what the information is telling you. Think through, you know, what you can do with that information and, you know, move forward from there.
Exactly. And just like we said, if you do not want to use Facebook for walking into your store, create a small, print out form, a few, form, let people write a few things. Mm-hmm. And with that information, mm-hmm. it allows you to get your business going forward.
Yeah.
So this, as well, it was a lovely episode. It's good to as have always, you back.
It's good to be back, man. It's been too long. In one episode, being away for one episode. It's been too long.
How did we survive?
I don't know. Even me, I don't know how I survived. I don't know. I'm never going again. Oh, you know, please. I'm scared that Mona might replace me on a permanent basis.
Mona replace you.
Yeah, no, it's good to be back. Great conversation as always.
Oh, great conversations as always. And I urge our listeners, please reach out to us on Facebook, social media, our email.
Push our analytics.
Yeah, push our analytics.
The brothers, please. Go and watch our TikTok. Mukwemba is saying it's only ladies. Please go to our TikTok and watch. Thank you.
So yes, we love that you're tuned in every fortnight, and we love listening to the feedback that you
really,
give us.
Really good, yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, so on that note, it's been great. So please remember
to keep your finger
on the marketing pulse.
We hope that you have enjoyed today's episode just as much as we have.
Till next time, remember to keep your finger on the marketing pulse.